That's, again, we're going to keep praying, guys. Don't forget, pray for Gerald. Continued speedy recovery. Absolutely, and I believe the prayers of the saints carry us through. Absolutely. I've seen it too many times. And, you know, I know as we start today, I want to just encourage you, too. When you realize how powerful the prayers of the saints are, believe me, you begin to pray more because you begin to realize you're getting a lot done when you do. We need to press in. You know, this is really something that's important. Simple verse that we're told when we're born again. And when I got born again, I had an odd experience because I always say I got saved kind of in the closet, in that I was witnessed to by somebody that was close to me, and I accepted the Lord. I knew the basic sinner's prayer. That's all I was introduced to. I lacked a lot of information. And wasn't like I had a mentor, you know, and this, you know, they had a person that had come to the Lord maybe 2 months before I did. So, you know, a lot of newbies running around, and, you know, what a journey it was going to be. But the one thing that resonated with me, because you know how you're different when you get saved. You know there's a change in your life. You know there's something that goes on. And I want to kind of talk a little bit about being that new creation. You know, one of the amazing things is, and I fear in our circles that sometimes we start out with the seed of faith and people talk us down. You know what I mean? Or the devil talks us down. Or we get saved and forgiven and become a new creation, and the enemy comes to us with our past to remind us of what we once were, trying to tell us we are them. But it's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I ran into this as I was reading my Bible, because no one really guided me there, because even the person that had been inspiration to me, they themselves, I don't know how much they had read the Bible, but they knew there was a drastic change. They knew there was a shift, guys, okay? They knew it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, simple verse, a lot of you even know it when I say it. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." And he says, Paul says, "Now all these things are from God, and who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." I think one of the things is we come to expect of ourselves, and part of what I'm getting into today is that, just, you know, when it's often when we talk to people, they get saved, and we'll read them 2 Corinthians 5:17. I did. When later, years later, when I led somebody to the Lord or met somebody that got saved, I would always go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I would quickly tell them they're a new creation. I'm not saying that I explained it good when they got saved. And as I got older, I realized the one thing that always resonated with me, and I want to say this to you, is that something happened. Something was different. I was different. In fact, one of the oddities about knowing Jesus is that as I came to the Lord and I was a new creation, I made mistakes, but there was a new Mike there. And when I remember reading this verse for the first time, it resonated with my spirit. Does it make any sense? Meaning, the one thing I knew is that without the agency of man, that God had did something very legitimate and changed. And I say this, and sometimes people go, "Well, you know what, we've been through this and we know that." And I get that. But I often think, as the time goes on and the years go on, I think one of the things the enemy tries to do is he really tries to minimize the faith and the hope and understanding that we're a new creation, a new creature. That we're different. And then if something crops up that's like the old man, the enemy is there to kind of say, "You see what I'm talking about? You're not different." But that's the problem, because if you've been born again, you really are different. And you know, it's about identity. And a lot of times there's, you know, people, I read books on your identity in Christ. But many times when I read those, it more is like a pep talk that you can do it. But But when I looked at what happened to me, and we get born again, and then there's a new creation there, and the old Mike has passed away, it's really critical. Because if I forget who I am, and I'm walking around, and for even a day, I start to think I'm the man I used to be, it's going to create problems. And I think one of the problems we as veteran Christians, number one, again, I used to read this to people in the beginning of their walk, but rarely after that. I rarely read this. It was in the intro packet. Hey, you got born again. You need to know you're a new creation. You're a new creation. And but the fact is, you could spend weeks sharing that the very character of Jesus has moved into us, and that the past is an enemy. It really is. And that who we used to be is not who we are, and we're actually becoming something other than that. We get so hung up sometimes on simply, hey, it's good to know I'm new, but really we mean new start. This is why Satan loves to get you tangled up, you know. Because another thing is, when I shifted, I had, now some of you, depending on how you grew up, Josh, and you grew up in church, but some of you didn't, and you've lived the sinful life, and you were on the outside, and you know what it is to come to Christ. And the one thing about being a new creation is, again, you're becoming sons and daughters of God. But Satan loves to get people tangled up in bad identity. He loves to get people tangled up in what they used to do. He even wants a mistake that happened a year ago to keep bothering you today, even though you've repented of it, even though things have changed. Now, part of the reason I'm saying this isn't just for us, but also, as God brings people into the kingdom through you, through me, and he will, that internal shift, change, transformation is critical. It is. It's critical. I need to know that person I led to the Lord, I want to see a new man. I do. I want to see them change. I even want to see them doing things that they normally wouldn't do. And there's a lot of things that we do. We obviously, when I got saved and then years later ended up in church, my lifestyle was so different. I was doing things I never would have did, and that was a beautiful thing. But I really believe the burden, guys, I really believe the burden we face is understanding and getting our expectations elevated and having expectations that aren't trivial, that aren't like going, I got these expectations, I'm going to, you know, if you've got a package and God wants you to get a hold of it, and whether that's you as an overcomer, whether that's new desires, whether that's the ability to do things you never did before, I believe even now this is more crucial for we Christians than ever before. I really do. That internal change that began the day you said yes to Jesus is, to me, a critical component of what you're becoming. Now, and again, I say this to you as also co-heirs of life with me and veterans of the gospel, because nobody's really a newbie in this room. But I'm noticing that the expectation levels have just dropped. It used to preach and say, God makes us new. God gives us victory over the things. And the Lord is forming and shaping, and it's progressive. I've noticed that between the 70s and the 90s, the shift actually changed from there's a new creation and he's growing or she's growing to thank God I'm forgiven. Now the one thing that really bothers me about this is because without realizing it, of course we're forgiven. But I noticed that the emphasis, when you've been around and been in ministry and you get to a lot of circles, I've seen a lot of shifting and changing. We went from the scripture saying we are more than conquerors to saying don't look at me, I'm not perfect. Which again, there's a truth to that, but there's also a lie to that. And that we can be an example for others, that God does total shifts in our being, and we start doing stuff we've never did. And then we say, something has happened. I think this is really critical. You know, I was looking, and I felt horrible. I was looking at a friend of mine, and he made a post, and he was talking about how he's so messed up, and he lives in total agony and bondage every day. And then under it, he says, you know, but I thank God that in Jesus we're a perfect family. There's something wrong with that. No family's perfect. But let me explain something. If we are stuck in the bondages, if we are stuck in the things of the old man and we're living that out, and I'm going to tell you, hey, my life is a total wreck, but thank God in Christ I'm perfect, that's not even understanding the scripture. And it bothered me because I thought, Lord, one of the most beautiful things that, in the, at least in the 70s and even in the 80s, that bore witness is that people would see there was a shift in you. They would. And it wasn't simply that I don't do drugs or I don't commit crimes or I don't do this. That was good too. But they could see a change, that new creation. I really believe the world is needing that now. I think the world needs to understand that if somebody's coming to Jesus, God wants to really reform them and change them and anoint them and cause them to do things they never could. I really do. Where shy men become bold, where proud men become humble, where things that you could never do in your own strength that suddenly you're capable of doing, even if that meant engaging somebody in a conversation of faith, of laying hands on somebody, because we all have personalities, and I get that. But see, this is another thing. The enemy is so into reminding you always of where you come from. He does. And if there's even a glimmer that may resemble something back in the day, he will come very quickly to you and say, that's proof that you're the same person. That's proof that you're no different. And in many ways, the enemy comes at our past because he understands if we get stuck in it, he knows we're stuck. If we believe the lie, he knows we stop moving forward. And the other premise is, can a man change? And yes, we can. Can people be redeemed? Yes, they can. To those of us who came out of heavy stuff, we became different men. And it was inside out, not outside in. We didn't grab a Bible and learn all the rules. Something shifted in us. And you need to be reminded that as you're going through your Christian walk, you were a new creation, you are a new creation, and you are becoming a new creation. I think we need the ability to say, you know what? I am not even done becoming what I am becoming. I'm not done. I'm not done. And God is changing. And God is transitioning me. And I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. I don't, because honestly, chronological age is a funny thing. I'm 56. And yet, God has brought new things in my life this year. I'm talking even in my person, just my personality, fruits of the Spirit, and I continue to grow. So I never hit a place where I'm like, you know, I've arrived. I'm glad I've arrived. And kind of like what Matt said, you know, that's much better. We're not there yet. And he was talking about pressing in, and Dallas had given a word about, you know, the enemy, and he comes against you. And it's funny, though, even thinking about some of that, when has Dallas been a guy that speaks up on Sundays? But he does. I could name stuff with each and every one of you that I guarantee you back in the day you did not do. But because there's a new creation, you've changed, you've changed, and you're changing, and you'll continue to change. Now I want to say this too. In a new creation that's being transformed, new things are coming up. Now this year, maybe you've got X, Y, and Z that you do. You got a certain way. And you do not know that if you're open, next year, God could bring a shift. You know, the Lord gave me a word, a very strong word, a couple of years ago, and he said, in these last days, I'm going to be moving. And I'm going to be launching people at really old ages and young ages. And he said to me very point blank, believe it. And don't take it lightly, Mike. He said, I'm going to cause people, literally, I mean, you know, in elderly age, that some are going to launch out in the ministry. Now, the rule of thumb normally, and I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, and I can tell you the rule of thumb is, if you're over a certain age, you know the best is past, and you've known Jesus for a long time, he's been really good to you, and I'm glad you got that experience. Now you just wait to go be with him, you know what I mean? Because you're getting kind of old, so us older people, we got to all wait to see Jesus, because we've done all that we're going to do, and the better days are behind us, and that's such nonsense. And the Lord spoke very clearly, and he said, you take it serious, and you work with, and you help in any way that you can, because I'm going to be launching people at ridiculous ages, and they will be mighty. I'm going to even do more changes in them. Do you realize in your mind, just speaking of a new creation, but also a new creation as is evolving forward, as in you are a new creation, you're becoming a new, you are, and you're becoming, and you will continue to be transformed. It's funny, the things that I've hit for over 50. It's funny, the mountaintops of God that I've seen, and the knowledge that I've come into, and even my personality is changing. And what would happen if I would have kind of said, hey, I'm a veteran, I've been in the Lord over 20 years, I actually got saved over 40 years ago. What would happen if I did that and thought, I am a new creation, amen? Because nobody really argues with this verse, it's what we are. But it's that becoming part that is very evasive, and I think that's really critical right now, because what I'm becoming, I want to become. And the other reality is, I don't know all of what I'm becoming. I don't know all the things I will do. You know, it's funny, I hit my first missionary trip in 1999, many of you remember, I went to Turkey. Little did I know that eventually I'd get into Cambodia and Vietnam, and then this February I got ahead to Nepal. And there was new things, and in those days, even when I went to Turkey, I'll never forget, Bruce asked me if I wanted to go, and I thought, that's really cool, I want to go. I never did, you know, I did Mexico with my wife, and that's awesome, and I feel a real dear spot for the nation of Mexico. That's going to happen too. But I remember Bruce gave me a stack of letters from the Turkish missionary and said, well, read this stack and just see what you feel about it. And I gave him a yes. He said, for real? I said, yeah. And I was at his house sleeping over, and he gave me the stack of emails. And I began to read the email from Matt, who was on the ground in Izmir, Turkey. And by the morning, my hope was that Bruce had actually forgotten about that he asked me. I gave him the folder back with all the letters and said, awesome stuff, I'll see you later. Because there was a new creation going to even rise. It was set on foreign soil and do work with teachers like we did in Cambodia and Vietnam. It was wonderful. But as God tried to even bring that part of the new creation to the front, I said yes, and then I said no 1,000 times. And then darn it, Bruce called me a couple months later, reminding me of the departure date, and bought a ticket, and he made it really difficult. So when I speak about new creation in Christ, this is also what I'm talking about. What new things does God have now? And again, don't give God a chronological age. Now, I'm saying that because I hate to say it, but there's things I know over 50 that I wish I would have known when I was over 20. Not saying you're stupid if you're not 50 or 60 or 70, but what I'm saying, there's such a beautiful growth process. But look at the new creation as something that is evolving. And also look at the new creation as something that we must see. We must see. We must see a shift. The devil doesn't like this, because here's the other secret, guys. When you become a new creation in Christ, here's the other problem. Part of what you're becoming, and you know this, is more like Jesus. And Jesus is ministering through you more and more. And the percentage and the strength of Jesus as you grow as that new creation, part of it is in the very image of God, and it's in the image of the Son of God. And one of the things that the enemy does not like, because that's another thing. When I talk about new creation, it has an appearance like a son of God or a daughter of God. So as we're being changed and transformed, it says we're being metamorphosized, and we're becoming more like Jesus. But that is not just in a moral example or like a facade. There's a reality of the person of Christ that is expanding. Jesus wants to expand in us. And again, I used to use this verse when people got born again, and I stumbled upon it the summer I got born again. I loved it, but I let it go for a long time. In fact, I would kind of read over that like, oh yeah, that's what they tell people when they're born again, newly. But never speaking about in that new creation is one, a being that is being metamorphosized and expanded and made larger, and the very image of Christ is at the root of all of it. And the supernatural works of a son or a daughter of God are increasing. I didn't even view that for years, didn't even think about it. So what if you got down and you said, you know, it doesn't matter, you fill the age thing out and say, you know, so I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, or whatever. And you say, Father, there can always be new things, and I'm a new creation, but I'll also continue to be new, because you'll continue to grow me into new things. And you will do stuff inside of me that will cause me to do things that normally I could not do, normally I would not do, normally comfort zones, it wouldn't be very uncomfortable, Father. Then I think of this too, and it's really important. Pastor Thomas said something last week that really stuck. He gave that personal word, and it was really good, but he said something that stuck with me. He said, sometimes the biggest enemy of your future is your past successes. That's so true. And I think about even one of the things in that God is shaping us and shaping us into Christ. And I'm thinking about that ability to leave things behind. Now, normally when you say that, people go, amen, I want to leave things behind. And that's good, because we make mistakes that we want to leave in the past. That's great. I've left mistakes in the past. In fact, I've left mistakes in the past in the dirt. I can't see them anymore. Isn't that a good thing? Mm-hmm. I've made errors that I left in the dirt. I've been wronged. I left that in the dirt. Because this is a beautiful thing about we go forward. But what about the way things are done? What about our past successes? We get so locked in. I don't know about you. I'm a pattern guy. I like that which is familiar. And if I don't have that which is familiar, it's unfamiliar, and I don't like unfamiliar. You know what I'm saying? I'm the guy that orders the same thing at a restaurant for 26 years. That's strong stuff, guys. I don't know about you. That's repetition. Now, if you like a dish, keep eating it. Keep eating it. I mean, I'm nothing wrong with that, but you can imagine, for me, being a new creation and this metamorphosis, you can imagine me sitting there kind of, you get what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I don't like change. I don't like new things. I don't. And if something's really working well, and I'm comfortable, and I like a system, you have to get the jaws of life to pry me out of that. But even part of what I'm preaching today is being open to even the new things that God is doing in you. Be open to new things He will birth up. If you think you've seen the fullest potential, unless you're with Jesus, like dead in heaven, you haven't hit your full potential. We've got to get away from going, we go, I'm a mature Christian, and nobody's arguing that. Even with what I'm saying doesn't argue that you're not veterans and mature. What I'm saying, though, means you start to be open and go, what new things? What new relationships in the kingdom? Is there a person God has brought my way? Is there a fruitful friendship where God really uses it in my life? And we start to, you know, get on this other journey. But leaving the old behind is really important. Now, Paul in Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Now, Paul, I want you to think about Paul. Paul helped and agreed with the martyrdom of Stephen. A saint was killed because of Paul. But there's more than one. It's just that Stephen is the one that's recorded. Remember, Paul had letters and authority, and he was ransacking houses. To say that Stephen was the only one that he, you know, helped get martyred, helped get killed, was probably an understatement, because just because it's only Stephen's only in the Bible, we know Paul was wreaking havoc in the church. So when Paul says, I left what's behind, it's interesting, because he was a Pharisee, he was on the council of the Sanhedrin, he was accomplished, he knew the Word of God, guys. Paul knew it before he knew Jesus. I can imagine the battle with Paul, like, so I'm new, but I'm not new to the Scripture. I'm definitely new to my understanding of the Scripture, but I'm not new to the Scripture. And I'm not new even to godliness. Because Jesus, when he appears to him on the road to Damascus, remember he says, it's hard to kick against the goad. Meaning, like Paul, you've been going against the grain inside. It's not feeling right. But Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. Listen, you can focus on your past in such a way that it'll freeze your present. It'll freeze it. You can get stuck in the past so hard, and believe me, I would have to say I'm one of the best people you know that can get properly stuck in the past. Some people I know can roll along, and they're more, I call them naturally gifted to let it go. But we get stuck in the past in such ways to where it freezes us. We can't move forward. We're still stuck on something, even something that we really like, and we just get stuck there. And it's very hard. And Paul says, hey, I forget what lies behind. I reach to what lies ahead. And I really believe when Paul made that statement, it wasn't just that he was a former Pharisee, that he was there when Stephen was martyred, agreeing with the death of Stephen. I believe when he says that, I mean, you know, we've got new journeys, new adventures, new things we got to do. I think about even Nepal in February in Cambodia and Vietnam for 2 years, and I look at some of that stuff I did, and that's all good. But then I found myself even hang up when we were having, like, the council meeting, you know, the thing that decides. I'm like, you know, Cambodia, 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 you know. And the guys are like, we got to hit Nepal. Got to hit Nepal. I'm like, Cambodia, Cambodia. And they're like, no, Nepal, 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 you know. And because, again, but this is a really important journey. We take, we go, we teach, and we bring the kingdom into darkness. This is what we do. But I'll set it up the same. Now, nothing's wrong with going to the same spot or having a heart. But I remember, I'm like, you know, guys, I have a really heart for Asia. And they're like, well, good for you, because Nepal's really Asia. Oh, okay, well, all right. But it's funny how we do that. I think it's really hard that we cling to the past, even the successes, because, you know, we did this and it works well, and there's no need to do anything else. And yet the Lord does that. And this is why I'm saying this, because it's very exciting. I meet a lot of people bound to their past. I do. I meet a lot of Christians that are very bound to their past. They're even, in many ways, they're sometimes carrying hurt, sometimes they're carrying guilt, sometimes they're carrying condemnation. And they're stuck. They're stuck. They can't. They have a real hard time. And I know what that feels like. But the beautiful thing, I mean, think about coming to a Christian that is suffering from that. And you could say, I know you were told this when you were first born again, but did you know you're a new creation? Did you know that it's not over? Did you know that God has new adventures and he's forming and shaping you and metamorphosizing you right now? Because again, we have to be careful not to mistake our maturity, because you guys are mature, but not to mistake our maturity where it starts affecting what we can learn and how we can learn. I appreciate my sister Barbara because she reads and she wants to learn. She doesn't say, you know what, I'm older than you, and you know what, I'm smarter than you, and you know what, I don't want to read. She's hungry. And I even call that the faith of a child. She knows and let me explain something. This is a little thing that I kind of made up some years ago. If God is an eternal being with no beginning and no end, to truly be learning of him really has no end. So I'm this 56 years, so what, compared to what, a gazillion? Compared to infinity? So the beauty that we know we're going to be learning in the Lord, and the Word, I've been in the Word 40 years, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still learning stuff, I'm still experiencing stuff, it's not old, it's not stale, I'm not looking for a new book. Because even it in itself has an eternal nature to it. The Word of God is an amazing thing. The way it spans out in your life is an amazing thing. I can guarantee you there's a verse that is absolutely true that you believe today, and if the Lord tarries, in 5 years, it's going to mean even more to you, I guarantee it. And this is this openness we need, that we're a new creation, and we're being renewed, and we're being renewed, and we're being shaped, and God's doing new things. Now the last thing it says, that God was in the Son, Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. One of the problems I have with how people take this, reconciliation is never saying, everything's perfect, I love you just the way you are, no change necessary. That's not reconciliation. That's called enablement. I want you to think about something. If I come to Armand and say he's in the world, and I've got a ministry of reconciliation, I want to see him reconciled to who? The Father. Because if he can get reconciled to his Father God, he can reconcile all areas of his life. But to do that, I have to really explain to Armand that he's not reconciled. And to say to him, hypothetically, of course, to say to him, you're not reconciled, I have to explain to him that he's not right. And he's not right with God. And I've got to explain to him that he has an enmity problem with the Father and he needs to be reconciled. Imagine that. For us to reconcile people, we got to sometimes be out there telling them that they need reconciliation, which in itself can have a negative connotation. Like I said, these words sound flowery, and I've seen people use them in really smooth ways, but it's like, if I'm going to get you reconciled to God, you need to know that you're not with him, maybe even against him, actually. If I'm going to reconcile, Jesus is the blood of reconciliation. And I think about the ministry of reconciliation. There's different callings in the body, but all of us have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. I believe there's been different levels of ministers of reconciliation. If you actually look, and it's interesting, this really never rarely makes the history books, even back in the days of the abolitionists, a lot of them were preachers. They really were. And they were different colors. Now, it was interesting because I believe all men were created equal in the sight of God, which is, I think, is a really, really true saying. Obviously, it's eternal. But even as they did some of that, they believed there was a reconciliation needed desperately. They were right on the money. But, you know, it's interesting. What do you think people that don't want to acknowledge and need to reconcile think of people who say we need to be reconciled? It's not a party favor. It doesn't go over well everywhere. Now, I want to end with a couple of things here. If we're new creations, here's the other thing that I see happen to all of us. If you're a new creation, which you are, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, and I don't mean that rudely, but the fact is you are, because you're in Jesus. You are a new creation. I don't have to talk you into being a new creation. In fact, when you came to know the Lord, I don't care where you were, when you really made Jesus Lord, and you probably had a baptism, there was a spiritual fusion that went on, there was a renewal that went on in your spirit, and you could feel it. not getting into the degree of how you could feel it, but I want you to think about something. As you were made a new creation, literally, guys, it's not like a cat becoming a fatter cat or a horse running faster. New creation, I want you to think of something. New means new. It's a this becoming something else. I want you to get this in your head. We did not become an improved creation. This is where a lot of saints, I believe, they put their expectation level down of what God wants to do and what he's doing and what he can do in them. God didn't tell me I was improved. He said I was a new creation. I remember the first time I read it, and I think in the King James it might even say preacher. I'm not sure. But I thought, this is like alien. Then I read there were strangers and aliens, you know, in that summer of 76, and I remember it clicking and going, because I'm thinking, I feel different. I feel lighter. You know what I'm saying? I feel I'm not the nasty, whining Mike that I was. You know, I'm not violent anymore. And I remember sensing that, and it felt so good. And then I got to that, and I thought, first I read that, then if you go on, it says we're aliens and strangers, citizens of heaven, not even of this earth. It started clicking with me. Mike, you didn't become improved. You became new. That's a whole different thing. Think about this for a minute. It's not, Michigan apples, you know, to Wisconsin apples. But actually, it's completely different. But I want to say this. One of the things that happens to us, we forget sometimes that we have a diet, this new creation, that's necessary. We do. We don't. What did Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So as a new creation, we're going to have let's call it a spiritual biological system that is going to actually maybe be better or worse depending on what we're putting into it. You're going to feel things, and I'm me in the Lord this many years, and it's interesting, we get so busy that we neglect part of our diet as a new creation, and we start feeling the effects because this new creation needs different input. Cartoons all day doesn't do for me anymore, you know what I'm saying? And eating food doesn't totally fill me up anymore. And it's interesting because I think about, as a new creation, Jesus said, it's interesting, they asked him to eat, and he said something interesting. He said, you know, he tells the disciples, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Think about something. As a new creation, you have needs of prayer, the word of God, and the will of God. What happens when you're a new creation and you don't quite understand you need certain things and your new creation, your being in Christ, gets neglected? It starts to hurt. You know, sometimes I realize, even as a veteran believer, that I'm trying to compensate sometimes in the wrong area. You take a believer and you get them out of prayer, get them out of the word, and they're funny. They really are. They're funny. They hurt. We hurt. We feel weak. I remember saying on a bumper sticker, it said, 7 days without prayer makes one weak, but it was spelled W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K. And I thought, it's powerful. Minister me. I'm driving. I'm like, we're a new creation that has very specific designs. It's like a computer that needs certain software. We have to have a particular input because our very spiritual being and our new creation being, it can't just be fed with food and water. It needs other things. How many times do you think Christians make the mistake of trying to do something in their life to fill something in their life, but the truth is, the only thing that can really fill that is the diet God has prescribed? And what happens if I try to feed, you know what I'm saying, myself a certain thing that really I need this over here, and I'm not realizing that part of the reason I'm hurting is because I'm a new creation, and I'm not nurturing that. A lot of believers, we don't even think of this. I've seen believers where their life, it just goes into the gutter, so to speak, and they're hurting, and they're in pain, and they're in tension. And I'll always ask them, hey, how's your prayer time? And the first thing that usually comes up, I haven't been lately. Okay. How about this? Well, I haven't been doing this lately. And sometimes it's through natural causes. There'll be things that occur. There'll be busyness. You know what I mean? It's not that they're being evil, trying to lay things off, but as a new creation, and then they're hurting. I've also seen believers try to fill with temporal things only what that eternal could fill. They're trying to actually put, it's like putting a round peg into a square hole. It doesn't fit. And they're marveling and going, oh, I feel like this, and I'm hurting, and I'm thinking, you know, your being is kind of off, and God wants to, like, right the ship. He wants to adjust you. But you're needing this. You're needing this? Have you talked to your father lately? You know what I'm saying? In fact, I see a lot of longing in the body nowadays, to where I know Jesus says he can satisfy me. So what happens sometimes is that is true, but we neglect that new creation, and what begins to happen is we start hurting, and we start seeking for something other than the Lord. Or we've got the Lord, yeah, he's good, but. And a lot of this is where I believe believers get into huge trouble. It's all right to be needy for the things of God, but to be needy and not know that it's what you're needing is the things of God and trying to fill it with a placebo or fill it with something else, it can be a real recipe for disaster. I've seen it. I've seen the lack of satisfaction in new creations drive people, new Christians, to stuff that they should have never touched, but they really weren't realizing, I'm a new creation, I have new needs now, specific needs. You know, Jesus said to do the will of the Father was a bread. Is it possible when we hunt out the will of God for our lives that there's a bread to that, to where it actually fills us up? When we seek God out and say, use me, I don't care, big or large, doesn't matter, just your will for me, show me what to do. Now, you know, you think about this, whether you're a preacher or a prayer warrior, I think about that, you know, you can get a Christian that has, let's say God's actually ordained them, they're going to stand the gap and they're going to intercede, they're going to change cities on their knees. And I think of stuff like that, okay? But what if they don't catch that? What if they don't know that? And they feel restless and they don't know how to solve it, and yet if the will of God for them is X, Y, and Z, and they don't do X, Y, and Z, what happens then? Well, they start hurting in their being. They start getting discouraged. So there's a part of this that we really need to grab hold of. And I will say this strongly too. Jesus has did some amazing things to me, and I've had to seek out the will of God. In fact, I remember many years ago, I would get to states to where I needed to know where God was going in a particular area, and I wouldn't be restless, but I would be dissatisfied. And you would find that niche. And by doing that thing, then your stomach feels full, and you feel like you've done it. I love the fact that Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And a lot of people, yeah, it's a metaphoric, blah, 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 blah. Well, not really. I actually believe as Jesus did the will of the Father, it doesn't mean he didn't have to eat. He was in human flesh, but it was crucial to the part of who he was. And I think about this even, I think about where another thing too, God's called us to be one, even as him and the Father are one. That's another need of the new creation. What do we do in a country where isolationism is pretty much at a premium? Where don't mind my business, I won't mind yours. And I'm not saying we should all be telling everybody each other all our deepest secrets, but there's a point to where Jesus said, I pray that they would be one as we were, Father. So this new creation has a need to come together. It has a need to be unified with brothers and sisters. It has a need to connect. And again, here's this desire that we need to get a hold of. Then one more thing. It says without faith it's impossible to please God, that he who comes to him must believe that he is. Like when you go to God to pray, you got to know he exists. And then you've got to believe that he rewards you as you seek him. Now think about this. As a new creation, I need to walk in faith. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes I get stressed. I don't know about you guys. You know, I read the comma and the dollars and the dots and the need, and I get overwhelmed. I really do. So even as this new creation, is my greatest need that I get a provision, or is my greater need that I trust first and then the provision? Well, the greater need is that I trust first, and then God will open the provision. This new creation has a need for faith. Think about this. You know, I think me and Matt were praying one time, and he said something, really God spoke to him, that I need you to do things that require faith. He didn't mean like, Matt, pick something that'll stretch your faith, but he was going to show Matt certain things to do that you could only do if you had faith. I know that for many years, I ministered to the limitations of what I thought I could see myself doing. That was it. In fact, many times I believe in my own life, I arranged things to where if I loved setting myself up to have to believe less. I really did. I know that sounds horrible, but I did. I many times sat there and kind of saying, you know, Lord, I'm more comfortable if you don't stretch me. And it helps me if you don't ask me to do something that I just find hard or impossible that I'll really have to trust you for. And I came to a realization one day. It was a hard realization, but I think it was a good one of the Father, that it's like saying, I've been living my sight for years. Christian. I guess I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus, but really with my sight, not trusting at all, which can bring on fear, which can bring on depression, which can bring on a number of things. Mm-hmm. And you realize, I'm doing things that I could do with or without God. I remember a preacher once told me, he said, I've come to a place where I realize I could do this with or without God. And it spooked me when he said it, because whenever a person gets to that place, especially a preacher, number one, that's a bit of an illusion. Oh, we're orators, we speak, we teach. Give me a text, I'll teach it. But even that belief is kind of flimsy, because the fact is, we could not do what we do without the Lord. In fact, sometimes me believing God to do what I do doesn't mean that I'll do something different, but it means what I am doing will be in the right context it belongs. But I think about avoiding faith. I used to pray that, God, give me a love to forgive those who hate me. God, stretch my faith. The worst prayers I've ever prayed in my entire life. In fact, I got gun-shy after I did that, and he actually started to try to do that in me. And I'll be honest, I started cooling my jets a little bit. I used to pray these, elevated. In fact, I remember one person was older around me, and I was praying. That's pretty amazing what you asked of God. I'm like, well, you know, the Lord leads, and I'm just, my back hand, I'm getting a cramp because I'm patting myself so hard on my back. He says, do you actually think you can handle what it's going to require in you to do those things you just asked for? And I'm like, I never thought of that. I'm sure the guy was like, he could have had a V8. This guy is slow, man. Just like, it hadn't dawned on me. If I said, Father, teach me to love, then somebody's going to come up and slap me in the face. Father, expand my faith. Then I'm going to hit the wall, and I'm going to need to believe God to take care of the rest. And I really believe the Lord's been merciful with me and all of us. But I believe there comes a time where he says, all right, you know what? You don't like it when you can't see it. But I like when you can't see it and you trust me in it. You see how the conflict, even in this new creation, goes? God would have me to believe because I haven't seen. And I would prefer to believe because I have seen. And again, I just feel this is such a strong emphasis for us today to realize there are more. God's not done. The doors he's opened for you, he's not done. The changes he's brought, he's not done. The places you will go, he is not finished showing you where that was. The ministries that will birth, I'm telling you, it is not. But as we close, let's rise and pray today. Do you understand what that means in new creation? And do you understand that the journey is not finished? And that God actually is, he's excited. It gives him pleasure to work in you. It gives him pleasure when you believe him. It says that it pleases him. Can you believe that? It pleases the Lord. God gets pleasure from my trust. That's a beautiful thing, is it not? Father, I pray today, because this journey is not done, it says you made me a new creation. In fact, it says I'm being changed, metamorphosized into the image of Christ. Lord, that's going on in me today. It went on me in yesterday. It'll continue to go on. I have not hit the end of the road. I pray even this morning as we dismiss out of service, you would bless us today, God. Lord, I look at this as the third leg of the journey. And I pray, even in this room, I know there are those that will affect people, affect nations, will be intercessors, will pray down glory in even the latter revival. I know there's crucial people sitting in this room. So I pray as we go from here today that we would get hope. And I'm praying right now, too, something special. Lord, I never want to live in yesterday because it doesn't do for me. I don't want to live in yesterday or yesteryear. I want to live in today. I need to live in today right now. Lord, I pray too, when the enemy tries to remind us of our past, that we would remind him of his future. And we would reject that, of getting hung up on what I've done or what I used to do, getting hung up on how my limitations in the past. Father, there's new journeys, there's new things, and I really sense it. There's new doors. You told me that people would be entering ministries in their 70s. You told me there would be people in their 80s. It just goes to show, we're so hung up on chronology. It just goes to show you, we have an idea that you don't have. But you told me in the latter times, these latter ages, it's going to be like this, because you're going to be incorporating soldiers, men and women, in your army. And you're going to be having them fill needs and do things that, some of them you showed me, it would be extremely new and different. But it'll be amazing because it'll be you. I pray a spirit of encouragement today for everyone sitting in this room as we dismiss. I do. I pray for the week that we approach it through and by faith. And I pray even now, Father, that fear would be a thing of the past, yes. That we would trust you in faith. Lord, even as a whole church, we put our, it says if two or more, so we got more than that. We pray for Gerald. And we pray every alignment in his neck, in the surgery, I pray healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, you've already did amazing things. Just what I've heard has already excited me, but you're not done. You would bring it the rest of the way home.
Yes, God.
That Gerald, and Lord, if you want him to, the miracle and work time or less time down, Lord, I know he's ambitious. I know he's open.
That's right.
But we pray your healing power even now, because again, you know, something's been corrected and there's a newness to it. I pray that you would grow. You would grow, and you would grow him, God. And you would touch every nerve ending in the name of Jesus. Bring it about, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless everybody. Yes, ma'am.
Could you also put Texas in there?
Oh, let's pray. Hurricane. What was the name of the hurricane?
Hurricane Harvey.
Wow, that's a weird one.
Harvey.
There's a whole movie, never mind. Father, we just pray right now for every area. I don't know, Houston, Corpus Christi.
Yes, God.
Lord, I heard they're still getting waylaid with a lot of flooding. So I pray in the name of Jesus, you would do an incredible work, God. Lord, we've got a little life lost, I heard, but it's been minimal. Lord, in the name of Jesus, if you could keep it, period, then we'll be really happy. If you could keep it from not hitting, period, we will be happy. Your blessings in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. God bless everyone.
Oh, that's right.